You know, so it's crucial, isn't it, that whatever the preacher does when they first stand up and start speaking, it's got to get people's attention. And it's got to do that in a helpful way and engaging way, because otherwise the next however long it takes is kind of a bit more challenging, isn't it? So let's try it this way today, okay? We've been going through our teaching series for a little while now, the Life in All Its Fullness teaching series. And we're in John chapter 10, and we've been looking at different parts of that. Now, I want to check out with you how well this has been going, but particularly how well you've been engaging with it. Okay, so what we're going to do is I'm going to set you a test. Is that all right? Well, I don't care if it is or not. We're going to do it, okay? I'm going to set you a test, okay, to see how you're doing. Now, here are the questions up on the screen. Next slide. So you've got a little bit of thinking time, okay? And you can choose whether you do this on your own or whether you chat to the people around you so that when I get some feedback in a moment, you're not quite so vulnerable if I've noticed that you've been on your own, okay? If you're visiting here this morning, just humour us for a minute or join in with the people around you. We're in John chapter 10. This is the passage where Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and life in all its fullness, okay? So there are simple questions. You're only going to have 3 minutes for this. I'm not going to take up all your day on it. You shouldn't need more than 3 minutes. The first two questions should be really quick, simple, straightforward answers, okay? The others, well, that's up to you. So who is the shepherd that Jesus is referring to? Who are the sheep that Jesus is referring to in John chapter 10? Why do the sheep need to listen to the good shepherd? Now, it depends how you answer that this morning, whether I need to carry on with the rest of the sermon, but we'll see. What is the shepherd offering? Now, I've given you a bit of a clue here. I don't want to hear life in all its fullness and that's it. I want you to explain what that means. Okay? Got it? Are you ready? So, 3 minutes. Go. Ish. Some of you stopped talking already. You must have got it all sorted out. Okay, you've had 2 minutes. Do you need your third minute or are you ready to go? You've suddenly all started talking again. Okay, I'm sensing that most of you are done, and we're not quite at the 3 minutes, but we'll carry on, okay? So, quick fire answers for the first two. Who is the shepherd that Jesus is referring to in John chapter 10? Okay, great. Good. Well done so far. Who are the sheep? We are, okay? Well done. Okay, right, so this is where it gets a bit more in-depth. Why do the sheep need to listen to the good shepherd? Because they tend to wander. That's a great starting answer, right? Okay, what else? Because the sheep tend to wander, they need to pay attention. What else? I'm still on question three. What else? Come on. Your dinners are going to burn otherwise. He directs us and leads us. Okay? He knows the way. That's an important point as well, isn't it? Okay, just hold those thoughts. What is the shepherd offering as he's doing all those things? Good news? Yep. Food. Yeah. Protection. Great. Joy. Keep going. What was that one? Fruits of the Spirit. Well done. Do you want to list them all off? No, yeah. Okay, so loads of things going on there. You've done pretty well. And, you know, those of you who have been more quiet, I'm just going to be gracious to you and assume that you would have said all of those things or more. Okay, so you've done pretty well. You know, we're doing this series because knowing life in all its fullness, in the way that Jesus means it, it's transforming, isn't it? And I don't mean, I've said this before in the teaching series, I don't mean that it transforms us in the sense that it extracts us from the messiness and the craziness of the world that we live in and puts us in some kind of protective bubble where nothing can ever get to us, nothing can ever hurt us, and life is just perfect all the time. But what it does do, it helps us to understand where we're at with Jesus, the one who's intending to fill us with life in all its fullness, in the ways that we've been touching on, ways of joy and peace and wholeness and well-being. The one who's given us hope, the one who is our light of the world, as Jesus described himself, all of those things going on. You know, knowing life in all its fullness is about God enabling us to live as he intends, as we absolutely integrate every part of our lives and our being and everything we're doing with the will of God and his word that we have in our Bibles. This is life in all its fullness. I've highlighted there, it's not about being extracted away from all the mess that we live in and are surrounded by, but it's about living in a way that we can cope with that differently. We've got a way through and we've got hope. We've got a future of hope as we look to Jesus, light of the world. So let's look at John chapter 10 again together. I'm going to be looking in detail this morning at verses 11 to 13, but I want to make sure we keep that in context. So I'm going to read verses 1 to 18 and then we'll go from there. So follow with me in your Bibles or on your devices, whatever you're using, as we look at this passage again. And Lord, I want to pray before we look at these words that, Father, you'll bring them to us in a fresh way, in a way that we need to hear from you this morning, in the way that you need us to engage with your word. So do that for us, we pray, by your Spirit's power. Amen. So John chapter 10, verse 1, Jesus says, "I tell you the truth. The man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice." Jesus used this figure of speech, but they didn't understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and it scatters. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father." So in those first few verses, of John 10, Jesus sets out the whole content of his message, really. And it says in verse 6, he used a figure of speech. But those listening, the Pharisees, those who needed to get their heads out of the clouds and realize that the whole of life didn't revolve around them, but instead focuses on God's best for his people. Well, we're told in verse 6, aren't we, that they didn't get it. They didn't understand what Jesus was saying to them. So he has to carry on. He has to kind of repeat himself in one sense. You know, I still want to question some of the time whether actually they didn't understand or they chose not to allow themselves to accept the truth. They're quite different things, aren't they? But either way, from here on, Jesus begins to press in deeper into his message, to get more specific, to get more real with the people that he's listening to, perhaps. And in verses 7 to 10, Jesus has already described himself as the gate, the one who keeps the sheep safe when they need it, and the one who leads them out to find pasture, to find places of blessing and goodness and provision, and brings them back in when it's right to do that. But Jesus is not put off here, is he, by any of the initial reactions of the Pharisees? You can just imagine them starting to mutter in the background. Who does he think he is talking to us like that, can't you? You can imagine this muttering and this questioning going on around him. But he's not put off, not put off at all. And so carries on and goes a bit deeper when he says in verse 11, "I am the good shepherd." You know, in that statement, Jesus is saying to the Pharisees, "I am the one, not you. I am the one who holds out truth and the fullness of life to all people." And he was saying to them and everyone else who was listening, "And you're like the sheep who have been following the wrong shepherd. But now follow me and I will show you life in all its fullness." You know, last week, Jean set out the role of the shepherd really well as being the one who is there to do the things we've been saying together already, to care for the sheep, to provide for them, to protect them, to meet their needs physically and spiritually, to go searching for them when they've wandered off and to bring them back from their places of danger into places of wholeness and safety and well-being. So last week was about the focus on the shepherd, about Jesus and the life in all its fullness from the perspective of the good shepherd. This week, what I want us to do is focus on the perspective, our perspective, as the sheep, okay? And we're going to do that as we think about how we, the sheep, need to be paying attention to the Word of God, how we need to make sure we're listening to the right voice, and then how we need to follow the good shepherd. So let's start with paying attention. So who here needs to pay attention? Well, it's obvious, isn't it? It's the sheep. It's the ones that Jesus has got wanting to get the most attention from, the sheep. And it's the reaction of the sheep that I want us to be thinking about as we go through this. Just think about real sheep for a moment. Not us now, just real sheep, those fluffy things in the field. And you know, when you see them, most of the time, sheep are kind of like head down, aren't they? Most of the time, head down, munching the grass. Just think about that. Spending the most of your life head down. I'm coming back to that point. But they're most of the time, they're head down, munching the grass, and they seem to be completely oblivious to what's going on around them. But you try and get close to them, you creep up from a direction that you think that they're not going to hear you. You do that as quietly as possible. Once you get close enough, they're going to... What are they going to do? They're going to run. They're going to run away from you. Unless you're the good shepherd, perhaps, but I don't want to steal your thunder. You're going to speak in a minute. So what's going on here is the sheep seem to be completely oblivious to whatever's going on around. Nothing can distract them from what they're doing. They're doing their thing in their way, fixed, focused, doing their thing. Here it is right in front of them. Nothing else matters. That's not a great way to live. Well, for us, I mean it now. For them, they're getting fed and they're doing their thing. But the illustration, if we stretch it out a bit and bring it to us, that's not a great way to live. Head down, totally focused, totally blinkered, doing our thing. Never mind about everything else or anybody else. You know, Jesus wants us to hear him saying to us, don't do that. Don't do that with your good shepherd. Don't run away from him. But instead, embrace life in all its fullness. But we do, don't we? We get so easily distracted, so easily head down, focused on our thing, fixed on our thing. When we're being offered something amazing, life in all its fullness, we can still be so totally dragged down, focused, doing our thing that we can't somehow seem to take that on board, that this other thing that's being offered is amazing, it's good for us. Why do we do that? Why do we allow ourselves to get so distracted that all that fullness and goodness of life that Jesus is offering us somehow becomes unbelievable, unreachable? Maybe we feel even, well, we don't deserve it, so I'm going to ignore it. Why can't the sheep pay more attention to what the Good Shepherd is offering? Now look, I don't have any personal experience in looking after sheep, okay? But Mike does. And Mike's going to come and share some of those experiences with us for a moment to add to what we're thinking about what sheep are like. And I've given him permission to be free in what he says. And we'll see how you do. Okay, go.
Well, first off, I farm flowers and vegetables and things that stay still. But also farm children and people, so that's quite difficult. But over the last couple of months, I've been asked to, as a project, to look after 61 Welsh Valley sheep on our 8-acre pasture. Obviously listening to John 10 over the last few weeks we've had, it's given me this rare insight into it, which has been great. And I obviously agreed to do it, because I thought it'd be a good experience for the kids that come to the project. They can help look after these animals. And so one of our jobs is to make sure their big hay sort of rack thing is filled up with hay every day. So the children help break the hay up and put it in the hay barn. We also have to check that they're safe. Okay, so they're all around the outside of this big field, it's all big brambles. And sheep, I've come to know, are quite stupid animals. So if there's somewhere where you can get stuck, they'll get stuck. So we have to pull the brambles off them and things like that. We've even had one go underneath a trailer and got its head caught in some of the wires that were hanging down, so we had to cut that out. One morning, I arrived at the farm, and we've got about 30-foot high a bonfire. The tractors have come and put trees and all sorts. It's absolutely enormous. And I came and I found two sheep actually stood on the top of this bonfire. I thought, how did you get
it? Did you light it?
yeah, lamb for dinner. Yeah. One of the hardest jobs we have to do, though, is particularly because of this wet weather. They're obviously standing in the wet ground, and it's really bad for their feet. They can get infections in the feet. So one of the things we have to do is try and get all the sheep in one place to go through the sheep dip. So we've got, it's called a race, so we've got some gates against a fence that you sort of have to narrow them in, contain them there, and then they walk through the sheep dip, and it anaesthetizes their, not anaesthetizes, but something, disinfects their feet. And so the way we do that, we've got our kids, and we sort of, you know, we go in, we creep into the field, and they're all, as Paul says, they're all down there. But as soon as you go in, it's like that, and they look at you, and they know you're coming. And so they're usually at the far end of the field, so you've got a, you know, good walk all the way around the outside. And we sort of make this circle round, and we just gradually sort of creep them closer to this corner where we can get them in. And you can see they're already thinking. One of the jobs we have to do when they're in the race is to count them, because it's really hard to, they don't stand still enough for you to count them. And we counted them one day, and there were 61. And I told the farmer, and I said, 61 sheep. He said, oh, that's weird, there should only be 56. But what had happened, another farmer had put five of his sheep in the field with him as well. And these sheep were slightly bigger and a bit older and a bit closer to their final destination. And I think they were a bit wiser. And so these were like the troublemakers. So when we'd be sort of creeping up, quietly closing in, there'd always be a gap about from here to the chair. And you could just see them. And then one would just go, boom, straight through the gap. And then the rest of them would think, oh, that's a good idea. And they'd spring past your ear holes. And you'd have to go back. And it'd take about an hour to get all these sheep in. Multiple attempts. And I realized then that I was the hired help. You know, I'm not the good shepherd. Because after about half an hour of chasing these sheep around, I was fed up. Stupid things. Your feet can rot off for all I care. You know, I was not the good shepherd. But sometimes the proper shepherd would come, the one who knows the sheep and the sheep know him. And he'd come on his own and he'd just go, and he'd go, rah, 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 and do these sheep sounds. And the sheep would just sort of walk up and then go into the sheep race and then close the gate and you think, that looks so easy, but we couldn't do it. But obviously they knew his voice and they trusted him. But.
Thank you. Thanks, Mike. I liked your actions as well. You know, that's, yeah, good. So let me just make some connections between what Mike has just said and this passage we're looking at. So earlier on, we, in our test, we identified that we are the sheep. Okay, so now let's just connect that to some of the words that Mike has used to describe the sheep. Now you notice I said that Mike has used to describe the sheep. He said things like they were stupid. Thanks. When we were chatting about this on the phone the other day, he included words like difficult and frustrating. And he also said that even when they know what is being offered to them is for their own good, they still don't embrace it. Yeah, well, make this connection between what Mike said. Well, don't shoot the messenger. Mike has described the sheep as stupid, distracting, frustrating, all of those things. Don't take the things that are good when they're offered them. So here's the link then. You know, I actually want to say to you that those things, how Mike has described the sheep on his farm, well, they're pretty much similar to how I want to describe the sheep that Jesus is referring to in this passage here. You know, I've been a minister for coming up 18 years now, and I can testify to the things that Mike has said about the sheep are true of people as well. You seem to be taking this very well, because I'm saying, look, you know, as your minister, I'm identifying with these words about the sheep being stupid and difficult and frustrating. Is it safe for me to carry on? Listen, here's the thing. We have to be realistic, don't we? When we actually line ourselves up to what Jesus is saying here, it's pretty difficult to justify denying the things that Mike is saying have some relevance. But listen, right? The point here is the sheep need to pay attention to the right voice. They have absolutely no reason to run away when they're doing that. The sheep need to pay attention to the right voice. They'll always know when they hear the right voice. They'll always know when they hear the right shepherd. Mike illustrated that as well. This is one guy ambles in on his own, gives a bit of a whistle and the funny noises that you made as well. There you go. Look, this Mike could learn to whistle in the same way as that real shepherd, but it won't make a difference to those sheep. The sheep will know the difference because Mike's pitch will be just slightly different, or Mike smells different to the shepherd or whatever. Yeah, you should shower more. You should go through that trough. Yeah. But whatever Mike tries, he could try his best to be that real shepherd, but he's not going to do it, are you? It's not going to work. The sheep know the difference between their real shepherd and Mike. They have their complete trust in that shepherd. Okay, they might push their luck at times, even for the real shepherd. And they might want to go off on their own little adventure. But the real shepherd, as Mike described it, the good shepherd, as it's described here in John 10 by Jesus himself, will always call them back, will always come back to rescue them, protect them, will always be there to show them again life in all its fullness. Pay attention to that. You know, this is us for us all to know and experience, not just here, but this is actually for us to know and experience, to live, to embrace fully. It's not just a theory that sounds great and is for other people. It's for all of us. This is for us to live by, to cling to. We need to pay attention. And as we're doing that, we need to know that we're hearing the right voice. Let's have a think about that. You've said already about how, Mike could learn to be that real shepherd, but it's not going to make the difference. The sheep know who the right voice is that they need to be listening to. So I wonder, let's think about us again. How do we compare? I wonder if we are totally tuned in to the right voice, or are we drifting along, paying attention to anything and everything that comes at us. So whatever it might be, one thing pulls us this way because it seems attractive and interesting. And then a little while later, something else grabs our attention from over here. And so we go off over there and we're all over the place. Are we paying attention, or are we like that? How do we know that we are hearing the right voice, the one that we want to stick to? You know, the thing that we pay most attention to, and the voices, the things that speak into our life, the people, the situations, the circumstances, the things we may pay most attention to, they're the ones that are going to shape our lives, aren't they? You know, at times, they'll be going on in ways that we perhaps don't even notice, and we get a bit sucked in, we get a bit dragged down, and before we notice, we're there. Other times it will be totally obvious. We can make the right choices. We can make the wise choices. Other times it will be great. And, those voices that we're listening to, those influences we're surrounded by are good for us and bless us. But why do we do all the other stuff, and the blessing and the goodness and the wholeness, life in all its fullness seems so limited? Why do we get so easily distracted? I could drop those words in here again. Stupid, difficult, and frustrating. I'm including myself, by the way. I know your minister is stupid, difficult, and frustrating, so I'm not picking on all of you. You come back to John 10. People who were listening to Jesus thought that the Pharisees had their best interests at heart and in mind. But listening to Jesus, they were like, well, hold on a minute. This is a bit different. Why is this different? I'm sensing here that you Pharisees perhaps are not being as honest and as life-giving as you might be. The example of the sheep and the shepherds Jesus was using, perhaps it doesn't really connect with our lives where we live now. Maybe Mike relates to it better than the rest of us, but it doesn't really connect, does it? We're not shepherds. We don't have livestock out in the field on a day-to-day basis. So what's our equivalent? There are loads of things that we can relate to here. So it might be that person who is getting our attention, or that lifestyle that we're being is being displayed in front of us, or that possession that we have to have, that career goal that we have to strive for, that beauty product, or that amount of money in the bank that we must have. That would be nice. Or that particular car we drive, or that holiday destination. When you do all these things, this is what you need in life, or whatever the thing is that grips our attention. Listen, I'm not berating all of that stuff. None of those things are in themselves wrong, are they? It's okay to own things. It's okay to go on holiday to different places, to have goals and dreams and ambitions. Jesus isn't saying here that to follow the good shepherd means that we have to give up on all of that and lead some kind of isolated monastic lifestyle of solitude. Some people are called to that. I'm not knocking that at all. Some people are called to that, and it's absolutely fine. Let me be honest. I'm glad I'm not. It's the extent to which our focus on these things that we are following, the things that are getting our attention, the voices that we're hearing, it's the extent to which we follow them and let them take over our lives that Jesus is urging us to be on our guard against, to make sure that we keep following the Good Shepherd. Pay attention, hear the right voice, follow the Good Shepherd. And Jesus, so I've said already, was offering this different way. The way of the Pharisees was actually stifling life in a way that's virtually leading to death. It's that bad. And they're the ones that Jesus refers to in John 10 as the thieves and the robbers, the deceivers, the ones who will run away to protect themselves as soon as trouble comes, rather than being there to stand in front of the sheep, to be that one who stands between that danger and the sheep. It's the good shepherd who genuinely cares and provides and protects and guides into those places of well-being and blessing that I keep saying about. You know, any other so-called shepherd who offers less than that is the one that Jesus describes in John 10 as the thieves and the robbers. It's only the good shepherd who truly does this in a selfless way. The Pharisees weren't being selfless. They were wanting everything to gain everything and look the best and all of that. The good shepherd acts in a totally selfless, life-giving to others kind of way. Even laying down his own life because he knows that's what's needed to happen. When we pay attention, I mean properly pay attention to the good shepherd, that's when we see life in all its fullness. Life that's full and rich and deep. I used this quote at the beginning of this teaching series. I want you to hear again. It says this: Jesus calls us to the depth and richness of life in all its fullness. He summons us away from existing on the surface of superficial things and into deep living. Jesus calls us to life, attuned to the deep rhythms of grace, that cherish life itself as a precious gift of God. You know, the characteristics, the character, the nature of the good shepherd didn't suddenly appear, didn't suddenly get put together as a new thing the day that Jesus was born and laid in a manger because the world didn't have space for him. The characteristics, the nature of the good shepherd didn't get shaped all of a sudden as Jesus went along performing miracles and healing people and pointing them back towards God. And nor did the characteristics and nature of the good shepherd suddenly fall into place when Jesus was crucified and rose to new life on the third day. The full character of the good shepherd has been the same from day one of creation. Nothing has changed that. Nothing ever will. It's been there from the beginning. We'd need another whole sermon to cover that properly, but you know, these are some of the characteristics of the good shepherd that I want us to draw out. Let's start with goodness. God saw all that he had created, and it was very good. God's total focus in creation is about displaying his goodness. And that flows out of a heart of love. God so loved the world that he gave his only son. And then there's more. The compassion of the good shepherd means that he can't stand by and tolerate injustice. The good shepherd will always seek justice for the poor, the marginalized, and the oppressed. When you get home, read Isaiah 61 verses 1 to 9. Compare that with what Jesus said of himself in Luke 4, 14 to 21. You know, life in all its fullness, following the good shepherd, knows healing. It knows grace. It knows forgiveness. It knows blessing, wholeness, restoration, total well-being. And for how long? Well, it's not time limited. It's not date specific. It doesn't run out, go out of date. It's for the whole eternity. It's only Jesus, our good shepherd, who can truly give that to us. Anything else that claims it can, that's the thief and the robber. Don't listen to it. When we allow ourselves to believe that actually we can keep things under control, do whatever we want, go wherever we want, get up to whatever thing we choose to get up to. And we believe we can keep that under control because all those perhaps more negative things, we can stop them anytime we like. If you believe that, you're being deceived in your life. That is not the way of the good shepherd. So don't do that. Why do we need to hear anything other than the voice of the good shepherd, Jesus, and pay attention to it? Pay attention fully to the ways of Jesus. Hear the voice of Jesus. He's the consistent voice that always leads us towards the care, protection, and provision that we need in our lives. Listen, even when life is feeling like a heap of rubbish, and none of us are immune from that, keep focused, keep paying attention, listen out for the voice of the Good Shepherd. Follow your Good Shepherd. His name is Jesus. Amen. Put the sound on for this. when we follow our good shepherd, when we follow Jesus, then we want to give our whole lives to him, don't we? Amen? Amen. And, you know, one way we demonstrate that is through baptism and all those words that are on the screen. I'm going to include them as we pray together now. And Tim is just going to be playing quietly in the background as I'm praying the tune of the song that we're going to come to. So let's pray together. Lord, we absolutely want to commit the whole of our lives to you so that the tune of every part of our lives will be sung to the words, "The Lord is my shepherd." And when we sing, we'll know what it means and we'll be fully, absolutely fully committed to it and live in life in all its fullness. Father God, when we're feeling challenged, unsettled, shaken, frightened or alone, help us to still be singing, "The Lord is my shepherd." When we feel like we're on top of life and we're giving our best to you, to everybody else around us, then make sure again, Lord, that we're only ever doing that because we're singing, "The Lord is my shepherd." It's not about us, Lord. It's about you, our shepherd, who we're following. Father, don't let anything other than that be what people see flowing from us. Lord, if we're showing too much of ourselves and we're behaving like the thieves and the robbers that you warn against in John 10, then pull us back and get our focus back on you. Lord, our first step is to be able to say for ourselves personally and completely honestly and with full integrity that, "Lord, you are my shepherd and I'm following you." Lord, we've seen on that baptism clip, that prompt for baptism, that when we are given our lives to you completely, we are completely immersed in your ways and your purposes, God. Following your example, Jesus, we're taking on board what it means to have that new direction, that grace, your mercy, your hope filling us and being reflected in every aspect of our lives. Lord, sin washed away and your love instead flowing out of us. Father, challenge us. If we are the ones that need to make that confession of faith, whether it's a first-time commitment to you, Jesus, or whether it's a come to be baptized or whatever it is, a renewed commitment to you, Lord, for each and every one of us, you offer that to us, life in all its fullness. And we celebrate our salvation in you, Jesus, in so many ways, baptism included. And then you commission us to go and share life and life in all its fullness with those around us. Lord, I pray that as your church, as your people, we will be doing that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.